from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
NFL season here to talk about camp. A couple of weeks in from USA Today, it's the Ravens Wire. Let's welcome back to the show, as we do every Tuesday, Kevin Allstriker. Kevin, good morning. What's happening?
Hey, Bob. Yeah, I know we got the MLB trade deadline coming up in a few hours here, but we're here to talk football. And for the Ravens, I know it's been exciting getting them back in pads and training camp, and football's back in the air, and it's exciting.
And with Lamar Jackson, and we'll play the cuts later in the show, Kevin, about winning that Super Bowl ring. And as we all recall, when the Ravens drafted him back in 2018, you're going to get Super Bowls out of me, as he's always looked up to Tom Brady and his achievements as a championship quarterback. Individual achievements are there, as you know. 2 MVPs, he's gotten paid, he's been to Pro Bowls, been in the playoffs multiple times. Has this become an obsession for Lamar to finally get that Lombardi Trophy, or at the very least play for it?
Yeah, I think that for Lamar, he's someone who's uber competitive, and we know that. And Lamar, when he was drafted, he had the whole iconic speech with Deion Sanders up there on the stage. But he's the guy that, you're right, the accolades are there. He doesn't necessarily need any more of those. But I think he would trade all of those. He would trade his MVPs. He would trade all the records he's broken. He would trade all of that for a Lombardi Trophy. Lamar's an uber-competitive person, and we know that he's somebody that loves winning and hates losing. That's just who he is. So I know that different players have different priorities when it comes to what they want to achieve out of their careers, but I know winning a Super Bowl for Lamar, I mean, he's talked about it really since the day he was drafted, like we said there. It means the world to him, or it would mean the world to him if he's able to do it. And I know that now all the conversation around him, it's not a question of, is he a good quarterback or not? Is he this? Is he that? It's now, all the conversation around him is about the playoff record. And can he perform in the playoffs? Can he get far enough to win the Super Bowl? It's hard to win a Super Bowl. And Lamar kind of talked about that with, being patient. And only a few different quarterbacks have won the Super Bowl over these last, handful of years. So for him, he still has a long way to go here. And hopefully he can get it done.
Now, in regards to that, winning the Super Bowl, and as you mentioned, there are a lot of great quarterbacks, Kevin, who are in the Hall of Fame that played for championships, didn't win them, some cases lost multiple Super Bowls or championship games. He's been every level. Finally got to the AFC Championship game last year. It was not an ideal situation, as we all know. So this narrative of not being able to step up in the playoffs, and they're 1-3 at home in the postseason with Lamar as the quarterback, is that part of that angst for him that maybe he's not hearing the chatter directly, but the criticism is certainly getting back to him? Like, yeah, you're great. You can go 17-0, lead the league and everything, but if you don't win in the playoffs, it doesn't mean jack squat right now.
I'm sure he's aware of it. I'm sure, he has some level of awareness on it. But I think, to me, the reason why it means so much to him is because he's such a, and we know this out of him just based off of what he's done over the course of his career, is he's selfless. He doesn't want to win it for him. He wants to win it for his teammates. He wants to win it for this city. And he's been on record saying that multiple times, where that to him is the important part of this whole thing. So obviously, like, there is an element of, yeah, that's a goal of his and he wants to win it for himself. But in the grand scheme of things, it's like, you know, he was talking about, you know, these vet players, right, who are on the team and haven't had the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. And this is like their last hurrah. And it's for those guys, which it's really important. But I do think that in terms of his playoff record, his playoff performance, you know, we know that he has to be better as a whole. Obviously, he's had good games in the playoffs. That Texans game last year was great. But he did make the AFC Championship for the first time last season, as you mentioned there, Bob. And I do think that, I mean, I know people don't really want to hear this, but I think that's the experience that he needed in that moment where they should have gotten the job done. I'm not trying to excuse their performance, but him being there in that moment and seeing what it takes to make a Super Bowl, you know, now he has that. So hopefully he can come back and do it again, whether it's this year, next year, the year after that, whatever it is, because I know for him, winning a Super Bowl is that important to him.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, The Ravens Wire, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's on vacation. Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Adape Owe, after you, the training camp performances, which I haven't been there, full disclosure, all accounts, he's looked really, really good. Are we less concerned about Adape being a big contributor to this defense than, say, we were 2 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, I think by all accounts, he is doing what people have wanted him to do. Now, I know maybe not John Harbaugh in terms of, you know, we heard the reports of him and Owe having a meeting right on the field about, hey, don't get too close to these quarterbacks. Right. He's been playing with that type of motor right now. But again, everybody's saying it's been a great couple of days for him in training camp so far, and a great week so far for him. And this is exactly what they would need on the field in the regular season, where we know Clowney's in Carolina now. We know there's a big void. We know the Ravens are relying on a bunch of youth in their pass rusher room. So for him, I know people are hoping he can take that Justin Matabike-type leap, and John Harbaugh said that he's hoping for a breakout year in that sense from OA as well, which they do need because he is a physical player. Ideally, in his role, he'll be able to set the edge effectively and be able to use his array of moves to be able to go, because I think with pass rushers, whether it's interior guys or outside linebackers, some of these guys have incredible skill. But it's about, over the course of the first couple of years, for some of these guys, learning the pass rushing plan. So they have all these moves, but what do you do with it? When do you use them? When do you use this type of thing or that type of thing? Some players figure it out immediately. And, you know, just rookie season, it's boom, you go. But for other guys, it is a matter of a couple of years of building up and being solid and being, like, good but not great. And for Owe, I think he's on that path of he's improved decently. Rookie year was, I think, really good for him. I know he went through a little sophomore slump, but then I thought he bounced back last season. So can he continue that momentum this season? I think that's the biggest question.
All right, Kevin, last thing for you, staying on defense. Brandon Stevens had a breakout season in 2023. He's in line for a big payday. What needs to happen for him to elevate his game to yet another level?
Yeah, I think just staying consistent in coverage and being able to continue the one-on-one with guys. I think when you think of Brandon Stevens, one of the things that people talk about is, you know, his performance on Ja'Marr Chase in that Thursday night game, where I believe the stat was either one reception for 6 yards, two receptions for 11 yards on 5, 6, 7 targets. Can't remember the exact numbers, but it was that type of game where Chase could get nothing on him. And last year, he stepped up for Marlon Humphrey. We know Marlon struggled with injuries last year and wasn't playing to his full potential, at least the Marlon Humphrey we know. But Brandon Stevens stepped up for him, and that's why the defense was so good last season, because it was players like that who were stepping up in the absence of stars, and there was little to no drop-off whatsoever. So I think that the Ravens do have a decision to make with Brandon Stevens. I've been saying they should have been trying to sign him to an extension yesterday, because I think he's going to get some level of a payday this offseason. We know cornerbacks are such a priority, but in a contract year, I mean, we played this song last year where it was all these guys breaking out during contract years, and they were able to keep some of them, and other guys they weren't able to keep. So I think Stevens is a guy that they should prioritize, especially because I know there are going to be some questions about Marlon and his contract coming up, probably starting next season. But to me, Stevens is a really important part of that defense, and his journey is great too. I mean, going from corner to, well, first of all, running back to corner in college, and then to safety, to corner to safety again. He's finally found a home, and I think it's great for him.
Kevin Ostreicher, as we're, 2 weeks into training camp, preseason opener looming here, what's happening at the Ravens Wire on USA Today?
Yeah, just trying to get up stuff about, you know, piecing together these training camp battles. And the offensive line is a really big one for a lot of people with Daniel Falele at right guard. So talking about what those combinations could potentially be. And obviously getting up stuff about what the coaches and players are saying about different things about each other. So it's just, it's great to have football back in the air. I know it was a long off season, but we are almost to the regular season. We just got to keep pushing.
Yeah, I haven't lost money on a sporting event in a long time. I can't wait to start gambling again. Kevin Ostreicher. All right, man. Have a good Turn It Up Tuesday.
You too, Bob. Thanks so much.
Kevin Ostreicher. Talk to him next week. Well, we come back and whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. Give you an update on the trade deadline, Major League Baseball. In this day in Orioles history, it is July the 30th. Some pretty cool stuff happened. I mean, bad stuff happened too, but we like to concentrate on the successful things.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Vinny and Hades with
brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes, the best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around, Biddy and Haney. 105.7 The Fan trade deadline coming up here at 6 o'clock tonight. Major League Baseball, a couple of deals last night. If you missed it, Jorge Soler leaves San Francisco, goes back to Atlanta, where he was a World Series hero for them. Yusei Kikuchi, Toronto. He goes to Houston. Justin Turner, they got traded during the day yesterday. He goes from Toronto to Seattle. Justin Turner, briefly an Oriole 15 years ago. So some things happening, and we'll keep you up to date on all the moves. But with the San Francisco trade of Soler, and he's paid a pretty hefty penny here, but that's now Atlanta's deal. But Bob Nightingale, future Hall of Fame writer, our friend from USA Today, saying that right now the plan is for the Giants to keep Blake Snell. Now, they're probably not going to catch the Dodgers, but they're four games out of the wild card. So even though they unload Soler, they still have hopes to maybe make a run at the postseason, and Blake Snell would probably help that cause. Bob also saying that he believes, well, the Chicago White Sox believe, that Garrett Crochet will be moved today. Gonzo. Maybe you'll have to pitch in the bullpen. Maybe you'll have to pitch in October without a contract extension. Nolan, we were talking about this yesterday with Gabe Lax. Okay. You threw your little bleep down and tried to make everybody stare at it and think that you're the biggest thing in the world. But the team's going to be like, well, you really have no leverage, and come here and perform, and then maybe we can talk about some other things in the offseason. So Garrett Crochet could be on the move. Luis Robert Jr., probably not, because he has drawn little interest. In theory, he'd fill a role. Power bat, right-hander, plays outfield, et cetera, et cetera. He's hurt. I think he's played 100 games in his career one time. So there's Bob Nightingale with a little more intel. He did say the five teams most likely to make trades today: Yankees, Padres, Dodgers, Orioles, and Mets. And the five players most likely to move: Jack Flaherty, Garrett Crochet, Tanner Scott, Yandy Diaz, and Urcig, the hard-throwing reliever for the A's, because Mason Miller broke his pinky banging on tables because he had to lift weights, or something along those lines. So we'll keep you up to date, as we said, on all of your trade fun. But the Olympic Games are going on, and we'll have an Olympic update for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. But just like the USA men in hoops, the United States women making short work of Japan.
Thomas, Young, Griner, everybody getting in touch on this possession, including Plum. Now Ionescu is open for three.
Ionescu, she bangs a three. Aya Thomas had a big day for the United States, 102-76 over Japan. They are the overwhelming favorites to win the gold medal, and off to a good start for sure. How about the United States gymnastics team, men? They get the bronze in the overall, first time they have medaled since 2008. So congratulations to the U.S. men in that regard. Let's see. Chase Buttinger. Remember him? Big time McDonald's All-American level player. Went to Arizona. Kind of clipboarded it in the NBA for a few years. Now he's a beach volleyball player. And he, along with his teammate Mike Evans, they went in straight sets yesterday in the Olympics. Chase Buttinger, a former NBA player, as we said. They beat France straight set, so they advance on. So how about a career change that's going to turn out to be successful? I don't know what kind of money beach volleyball players make. I'm guessing it's most on winning tournaments and endorsement deals. Endorsements. Yeah. Anyway, endorsement deals. He made a few mil playing in the NBA, so let's not cry for him. But reinvent yourself. A lot of dudes that were basketball players that became volleyball studs. Keith Erickson, going way back when, played for John Wooden at UCLA. He was one of the great volleyball players of all time. Matter of fact, John Wooden said Keith Erickson was the best athlete he ever coached in any sport. But Chase Buttinger, good for you. Coco Gauff got cundiffed or lost today in the tennis, and apparently had some issues with the officials there and the line judges, and tears are flowing. Nolan never cried losing at tennis, because I always knew that losing was probably going to be a reality. So I didn't take it that personally, but Coco Gauff did. One of the flag bearers for the United States. But Olympic update coming up in full effect here at the bottom of the hour. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. It's the whip around this day in Orioles history. It's July 30th, 1983, Memorial Stadium. Eddie Murray, two ribbies. Sweet swinging Kenny Singleton, 3-for-5 with an RBI. Scott McGregor picked up his 13th win. Orioles on their way to the World Championship, beat Texas 7-4. 1997, Oriole Park at Camden Yards against Texas. Geronimo Baroa drove in a couple of runs. Jeff Rebele, 3-for-4 with a ribby. Scott Kamenicki gets the win. Randy Myers, his 30th save. Boy, he was awesome that year. Randy Myers, that is. Orioles on their way to the ALCS. Wire to wire, winning the division. 3-1. 2012, Yankee Stadium. Wilson Betemeet went yard. Nick Markakis, 3-for-4, 2 ribbies. Miguel Gonzalez gets the win. Jim Johnson picked up his 31st save, as he was outstanding that year, until he wasn't. Playoffs in particular, I guess. But hey, on this day, 5-4 over the Yankees. 2014, 10 years ago, Royal Park Cannon Yards. Jonesy hits a 2-run jack. Kevin Gausman picked up his 5th win. Zach Britton, his 21st save. Eventual American League East champ Orioles beat the Angels 4-3. And then a year ago today, 2023, Oriole Park Cannon Yards, Frazier hits a 3-run homer as the Orioles score 7 in the first and beat the Yankees 9-3. Ryan O'Hearn had 3 ribbies himself. Mike Bauman picked up the win, his 8th of the year, as the Orioles clobber the Yankees 9-3. This year's Orioles kind of being hit and clobbered more than they've been clobbering. We'll talk about that at 12 o'clock with Ryan Ripken. But when we come back, news from the Nats. Going to hear from Lamar Jackson. Met with the media for the first time since, what, the AFC Championship game? Or since, what, I guess, minicamp? First time we've heard from Lamar in a long, long time. So we'll find out what's going on in his world. He wants a Super Bowl ring. I think we all want it with him. So we'll get into that coming up at 12. As we said, Ryan Ripken going to be joining us as we talk about the trade deadline and the Orioles' defensive struggles. And we'll count that turned up Tuesday money, hopefully at 12:15 with Buy or Sell.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's on vacation this week. Lamar Jackson out there practice with most of his teammates yesterday. One winning drive. Met with the media for the first time in a couple of months and was asked about a lot of things. Some he wanted to talk about, others not so much. But he did want to talk about the Ravens' offensive line. How's that looking so far, Lamar?
Guys just getting after it. You know, they busting their tail out there. They trying to get better, you know, trying to win the position. I really can't pay attention to them because I'm trying to pay attention to the defense, see what they're doing, seeing what they're giving me, you know, just trying to get the ball out of my hands. So, but for what I do see, guys are fighting, they busting their tail.
And still trying to figure some things out, too, in regards to who's going to be the starters. We're going to hear from Ronnie Stanley when we get to NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. But Jeff Zrebeck, The Athletic, wrote about this morning. Daniel Fa'alele didn't exactly have the strongest of days. One of the candidates to start at right guard, as we talked about yesterday, Nolan. You got Ronnie Stanley healthy for the first time in 5 years. This is as healthy as he's been since the day he got hurt against the Steelers, 2020. Voorhees, all systems appear to be go at left guard. And then you have an all-pro at your center. Right side of the line, very much a work in progress. But to Lamar's point, you know, I get it. And I'll start noticing if they're getting me killed here or they're not doing their job trying to open holes for me and Derrick Henry and everybody else. But right now, he's going to let all of that kind of take care of itself because it's not his job to decide who the offensive line is going to be.
No, but he should have great interest for everything you just got done saying. And, you know, he's a good ways into his career now. He's played behind really good offensive lines. And there's been years like 2021 that come to mind where he played behind a very shaky offensive line and he was under duress quite a bit. So, I mean, he knows what it takes to succeed. He knows what kind of protection he needs up front. But again, we only have a couple padded practices under our belt. The amount of reps within that practice is limited. I'm sort of in the camp of, all right, I'm waiting for that Eagles game in a couple weeks here to start making some determinations or sweeping statements about the O-line competition.
And just reading the intel, and, you know, we get, you know, Cordell's out there, Cordell Woodland, our Ravens reporter. They're not even really tackling yet. Yeah, they're in pads, but it's not a full-on contact game-level intensity in regards to the physicality. So,
right, and even if it does get a little chippy at times or somebody gets tackled, it seems like Harbaugh's running out there with the whistle saying, hey, none of that. Break it up.
Leave him alone. Right. Yolly. Here's Lamar Jackson. Year two Todd Monken offense, hey, year one went pretty well. He won the most valuable player. Ravens had the best record of football, scored a ton of points, made it all the way to the AFC Championship game. We know what happened there, but we're not going to revisit that. But how's the offense looking, and how comfortable are you in year two, number eight?
Very comfortable. We're talking a lot inside the building, saying things on the field, talking to coach, you know, talking to the guys, making checks here and there. I'm getting very comfortable with the system.
I mean, he's kind of familiar with most of the guys. I mean, Derrick Henry, going to have to work out a relationship with him, which I don't see being a problem. Like, for instance, our buddy Nate Davis from USA Today, still not sold on Lamar and Derrick Henry being able to coexist at a full level, because this is a different level off, or different style, I should say, offense for Derrick Henry. But outside of building chemistry, who's he really building chemistry with? He knows everybody else. Maybe Tez Walker, I guess.
Well, some would say he's got to still build chemistry with Rashad Bateman. So even if he's been playing with these guys for a couple of years, and the whole tight end ongoing conversation there, getting Likely and Andrews on the field together, that's going to be some growing pains with that. So there's still areas to grow, but just compared to last year, where the entire offense was trying to learn Monken's system, we kept hearing time and time again throughout training camp, you know, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be mistakes here and there. You know, Lamar was actually getting the keys to the car for the first time in his career. That comes with a lot of extra stuff. So this year, I think, be a lot smoother out the gate, not having to worry about all that extra stuff.
Well, here's Lamar Jackson himself elaborating on trying to build that chemistry with the offense.
It's within plays, you know, it's inside the locker room. We're talking about plays that's went on the field. Telling him what I'm saying for defenses and saying why I see he should be, you know, on the field. Things like that, just talking ball and playing a game sometimes too. You know, that builds chemistry and communication as well.
I'm assuming he's talking about like video games or something along those lines to build a camaraderie. But Lamar Jackson, is he the rah-rah, go-crazy leader that we've seen? Tom Brady, Dan Marino is famous for getting in people's faces. Lamar's not necessarily that guy, but I think we all know at this stage of his career going into year number seven, he's respected by his teammates for sure, and he's earned that respect.
Oh, he's not quiet when things are going wrong, though.
Right.
I mean, if he's playing poorly on an individual level, then you're really going to see it. He starts to...
Well, he'll toss his helmet.
No, he'll show frustration for sure. And I think frustration with teammates, it's a little more subtle, but his teammates can pick up on it right away, that body language, the way he's speaking, that he's a little ticked off at what happened.
Yeah, if, insert receiver Manos DiPietro's as a pass, you know, he's not going to toss his helmet there. But to your point, that's probably a play that's made. But we've seen Lamar, when he feels as though he didn't achieve what he wanted to do in a certain situation, he gets a little testy out there, even more so than he did early in his career, well, when everything seemed easy for him at the time.
Right, a little short, maybe. even sometimes, I don't know, the mic'd up segments are probably our only inside glimpse there. But, you know, you see the coaches come up to him, and it's almost like he doesn't want to hear it. You know, oh, I screwed up. Well, all right, on to the next play.
It's 5880-1057, the Fan News from the Nest here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. And then finally, we talk about a guy, Lamar, is that he obviously has a relationship and a trust with, that Zay Flowers.
It was pretty easy. I'm seeing him attack the ball. I'm seeing him when the cornerback has outside leverage on the outbreaking route, he's dropping him, he's winning. Off back, he just had my trust, man. Him catching the ball and doing what he do, that's all the quarterback want.
And Zay Flowers had a very, very impressive rookie season. 77 catches, 858 yardage, 5 touchdowns. Only averaged, air quotes, 11.1 per reception. I think that goes up this year. I think he gets double-digit touchdowns. You know, we'll see if the target share is still sitting at 108 with Mark Andrews healthy for an entire season. A more engaged Rashad Bateman, who left practice early yesterday after an hour, got tangled up with the DB, one-on-one drills. And Isaiah Likely expected to be a much more prominent part of the pass offense as well.
Right. I think it's fully about the entire offensive picture here. I mean, individually, yes, Zay Flowers should do better this year. You know, we should see consistency from game one to game 17 with Isaiah Likely. But, you know, these guys are only going to be as good as the entire unit is. You know, think about a couple years ago, receiving threats for the Ravens, Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, that was it. Defenses could key in on those guys, and they still got their yards, they still got their stats, but in certain crunch time situations, you knew where Lamar was looking to go with the ball. Can we get a little bit more of a threat from other players, take some heat off of Zay Flowers, Mark Andrews, keep things a little more, I don't know, less predictable?
I'm thinking the guy that's going to have a bust-out year with the big plays is going to be likely, because we talked about the fact that for the first 8 weeks, 9 weeks of the season, he was a non-factor. Then he became a very important part of that Ravens offense as they were putting up 30 a game, it seemed, on a weekly basis. But last year, Nolan, in just 30 receptions, he had six big plays, catches over 20 yards. Flowers had 12. With more than, you know, double the catches and then some. And he also averaged almost 14 yards of reception and five touchdowns. I think Isaiah Likely is primed, for an all-pro level season, perhaps.
I don't know if I'm going that far.
Okay, hyperbole. All right, yeah. I got you.
Well, the voters are just always going to
view him. I don't care about
him.
Those stupid voters. They're wrong.
Fair enough, but they're
He'll
always going to view
How
him,
about he gets noticed this year in a big way?
I think he's on the radar. I think people in the know are kind of waiting on him, like you said, to have that true breakout. But as far as being a household name, I don't know about that. I mean, you got to be in that territory to get the all-pro recognition.
It is Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ryan Ripken's going to be joining us top of the hour. Talk about the Orioles trade deadline, 6 o'clock, Major League Baseball. What sort of moves could be happening, according to John Morosi, MLB Network. Orioles and Tigers are talking about Tarek Skubal. Will anything come of it? We'll let you know if it happens before 2 o'clock. If it happens late, because the trade deadline's at 6, we'll be talking about it on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Mike Bordick live from Pickles Pub. Joe LaCroix is going to be there. You should be, too. Baltimore Baseball Tonight at 5:30. Me and Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts, live from Pickles Pub. Joe LaCroix is going to be there as well. But let's bring Nolan in. Nolan, how are you on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Doing pretty good. Obviously waiting on another move here, potentially, for the Orioles before 6 o'clock. But if this is the pitching staff that they're going to roll with through the rest of the season, what we have right now on paper, there's been some talk of having some of these young guys, Cade Povich, Chase McDermott, they've had opportunities to start this year, but what could they do for you out of the bullpen? Well, after last night with Cade Povich, I'm really starting to wonder what any role at the major league level would look like for him this season. Future's still bright. I think he's got major league stuff, just needs to iron out the walks, but whether it's starting or bullpen, I can't get over the walks. I don't know if I trust him in any capacity right now, which, again, raises the need for a trade before 6 p.m.
And Brandon Hyde didn't seem too satisfied with his lack of command after the game either. But Chase McDermott has problems with his control as well. And he might have a bigger arm than Cade Povich does. I could see him being an asset in the bullpen. But we've talked about it, Nolan, 1,000 times. If the Orioles could acquire another starting pitcher, not saying they won't, but if they do, maybe Albert Suarez becomes a very prominent part of your back-end bullpen, maybe even high-leverage stuff in August and September.
Right, and we will hear from Mike Elias following the end of the deadline. He'll speak on all the moves, I'm sure. I would just hate, though, if there isn't another bullpen move and they ask him, hey, how do you feel about the state of your bullpen? He's going to want to show confidence in the guys that are still on the team. But what I really don't want to hear him say is, well, we're still banking on Danny Coulomb to come back. And he's going to be a big boost for us, because I'm going to speak for myself here, and I'm
allow maybe, myself to introduce right, myself. Yes,
and maybe you agree, but if Danny Coulomb comes back and gives you anything, that's a bonus. I'm not planning on him being a part of the equation for the end of the regular season, the postseason, in any capacity. And if I'm Mike Elias, that should not be any determining factor on the way I'm operating at the deadline here. He's not in the back of my head. Danny Coulomb isn't. He's not even part of the conversation. If he's here, it's great. We'll gladly take it. You'll take any sort of boost you can get in the bullpen, but he's not part of the plans, or he shouldn't be something that you're saying, all right, well, we'll be okay because we'll get him back.
Elbow problem, right? Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, September.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm with you, because we've seen it already. I mean, I hate to be right for once in a blue moon, but I called the Bradish thing. I didn't expect John Means to not last as long as he did. I expected a little bit more out of Meansy, but not maybe apples to apples, but Means came back late last year, was great down the stretch, had us all excited about October, and then he was done then, and then we all saw that that carried over through the exhibition season into the regular season and didn't last long at all. So to your point, I guess, Nolan, Danny Coulomb, if he's helping the team this year, I'd be quite surprised. I'd be happy if it happens, but I'm not counting on it. I'd be shocked.
And if he's not ready at any point in the regular season, but say he is 100% healthy or cleared by the doctors for the start of a playoff run, well, now you've really got a tough decision, because in theory, yes, he would be a part of your playoff roster, but he hasn't pitched in forever. You're Brandon Hyde. That first time you're thinking about pulling the trigger and going to Coulomb, he's sitting on the – I mean, man, it's a playoff game, close game here. This guy hasn't pitched since, what, May, June this season, and this is his first appearance back in the playoffs? I don't know. At a certain point, if he's not back by the regular season, I may just say – all right, we'll see you next year.
See you in Sarasota, everybody. Now, the Orioles trade deadline, everybody else involved as well. What's going to happen if things go down? Not necessarily with the Orioles, which would be great because it gives us something to talk about, but any sort of trade, we'll talk about it. If not, Inside Access starts at 2, and then Baltimore Baseball tonight at 5:30. Me and Mike Bordick live from Pickles Pub. But when we come back, Ryan Ripken's going to be joining us. Get his thoughts on the deadline, the shaky Orioles defense. They're about to have their first losing month. Full month since September of 2022. Yeah, they were 2-3 in October, but you get the point. This is their first losing month in over a year. How do they get themselves straightened out for August?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.